Well, as I told you earlier, this is our Sunday dedicated to lessons and carols, and we begin that now as we all gather together, and we will share scripture, we will share reflection, we will share choral music, you will sing, we will all engage in our first real Christmas celebration here. This is called Living into Christmas. So let me just provide a brief introduction. Christmas comes wrapped in deep mystery and an ancient promise. Writer Maria Bolding says this: "Every year in the weeks before Christmas, the Christian church celebrates the season called Advent, the coming of the Lord. It is a poetic, mysterious, and a very beautiful time during which the prayers and longings of prophets and psalmists and anonymous poor people of the Old Testament come into their own. We are invited to identify with the people who waited for Christ during that long night watch. And certainly the poetic elements combined with the darkness and stars make it easy. Nevertheless, we could be dogged by a feeling of unreality, a suspicion that there is something artificial about pretending to look forward to Christ's coming when we know that he has come already. He has come, certainly, and that historic moment of his human birth cannot be repeated, but the coming of God in Christ still continues and will be consummated in a coming and a gift beyond the stretch of our hope. We are an Advent people. The season of Advent celebrates in symbolic form a reality of our own lives and of all humanity's destiny with God, because he who came in weakness at Bethlehem is he who will come once again." We turn now to our celebration singers as they share with us In the Bleak Midwinter.
Our first lesson this morning is entitled No Place for Them and comes from Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room, no place for them in the inn.
That starlit night should not have been a surprise, but it was. Prophets had foretold his coming in many and various ways since time beyond memory. The faithful had suffered history in patient hope, but the promise had grown so old and the world so dark that anticipation was forfeit of expectation. Still, the promise echoed, no matter how faintly, in the words of the ancient scriptures, in the voice of God promising victory over that serpent and all that he represents, in the voice of Moses promising another prophet like him for guidance for the ongoing journey, and in the voice of Isaiah promising our deliverance. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is now with us. And in just a few days, God comes to be with us once again. The question is, will we make room for him? Our second lesson is entitled, And the Word Became Flesh, and our scriptural reference is John chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Let us turn our attentions now to our screen.
This is me confessing.
This is me admitting.
This is me trying to turn around.
Trying to turn around the thing that happens every year.
Because this...
this is where Christmas begins. Dear Christmas, it's not you, it's me. Every year you come around.
And every year I hope that I'll have peace and joy and wonder.
Every year I place my hope in the gifts you ask me to buy, but I still feel empty.
Every year I chase after the seasonal traditions you bring, but I never catch up.
Every year I organize my family gatherings that you encourage, but I still need to belong. They're all good things, I know, but they're not the best things.
So maybe this is where I go back.
Maybe this is where I go back to where it all really begins.
It begins with a timeless story that happened in real time.
It begins with a baby boy, born to a humble couple, announced by a proclamation from heavenly angels to lowly shepherds.
It begins with a word that dwells among us and becomes the lamb that dies for us.
You are God with us.
You are God for us.
And you are God refusing to abandon us.
So Christmas, you're here, but I'm here too.
Tired, but wide awake.
Wide awake. To you.
To this. To all of it.
Because this.
This is where Christmas begins.
Our ushers now come among us to receive our morning tithes and offerings as Dorothy shares with us Star in the East.
Thank you.
Lesson 3, Mary Called Me Blessed, comes from Luke 1, 46 through 57. 56, sorry. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home.
Our reflection this time comes from author and pastor Max Lucado. This is a poem that he wrote some years ago that has had a profound effect on me, and I share it now with you. It's called Mary's Prayer. God, O infant God, heaven's fairest child, conceived by the union of divine grace with our disgrace, sleep well. Sleep well, bask in the coolness of this night bright with diamonds. Sleep well, for the heat of anger simmers nearby. Enjoy the silence of the crib, for the noise of confusion rumbles in your future. Savor the sweet safety of my arms, for a day is soon coming when I cannot protect you. Rest well, tiny hands, for though you belong to a king, you will touch no satin, own no gold. You will grasp no pen, guide no brush. No, your tiny hands are reserved for works more precious. To touch a leper's open wound, to wipe a widow's weary tear, to claw the ground of Gethsemane. Your hands, so tiny, so tender, so white, clutched tonight in an infant's fist, they aren't destined to hold a scepter, nor wave from a palace balcony. They are reserved instead for a Roman spike that will staple them to a Roman cross. Sleep deeply, tiny eyes, sleep while you can. For soon the blurriness will clear and you will see the mess we have made of your world. You will see our nakedness, for we cannot hide. You will see our selfishness, for we cannot give. You will see our pain, for we cannot heal. O eyes that will see hell's darkest pit and witness her ugly prince, sleep, please sleep, sleep while you can. Lay still, tiny mouth. Lay still, mouth from which eternity will speak. Tiny tongue that will soon summon the dead, that will define grace, that will silence our foolishness. Rosebud lips upon which ride a starborn kiss of forgiveness to those who believe you and of death to those who deny you. Lay still. And tiny feet cupped in the palm of my hand, rest. For many difficult steps lie ahead for you. Do you taste the dust of the trails you will travel? Do you feel the cold sea water upon which you will walk? Do you wrench at the invasion of the nail you will bear? Do you fear the steep descent down the spiral staircase into Satan's domain? Rest, tiny feet, rest today so that tomorrow you might walk with power. Rest, for millions will follow in your steps. And little heart, holy heart, pumping the blood of life through the universe. How many times will we break you? You'll be torn by the thorns of our accusations. You'll be ravaged by the cancer of our sin. You'll be crushed under the weight of your own sorrow. And you'll be pierced by the spear of our rejection. Yet in that piercing, in that ultimate ripping of muscle and membrane, in that final rush of blood and water, you will find rest. Your hands will be freed, your eyes will see justice, your lips will smile, and your feet will carry you home. And there you'll rest again, this time in the embrace of your Father. Let us stand now, if we're comfortably able, and share a verse of "What Child Is This?"
Lesson 4 is entitled "Angels, Glory to God," comes from Luke 2, 8 through 14. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
This reflection comes from the writings of Presbyterian pastor Frederick Buechner. He begins with this: "In the letters of St. Paul, which are the earliest New Testament writings, there is no suggestion that the birth of Jesus was accompanied by any miracle. And in the Gospel of Mark, which is probably the earliest of the four, the birth plays no part. So a great many biblical scholars would agree with the skeptics that the great nativity stories of Luke and Matthew are simply the legendary accretions, the poetry of a later generation, and that they were, and that were we to have been present, we would have seen a birth no more or less marvelous than any other birth. But if that's the case, what do we do with the legends of the wise men and the star, the shepherds and the angels, and the great hymn of joy that the angels sang? Do we dismiss them as fairy tales, the subject for pageants to sentimentalize over once a year come Christmas, the lovely dream that never came true? Only if we are fools do we do that. Although there are many in our age who have done it, and there are moments of darkness when each one of us is tempted to do it, a lovely dream, that is all. Let us share now "Angels We Have Heard on High." Please stand.
Oh,
Our fifth lesson comes from Luke 2:15-20, as is called, Shepherds, Let Us Go. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Frederick Buechner continues, Who knows what the facts of Jesus' birth actually were? As for myself, the longer I live, the more inclined I am to believe in miracle. The more I suspect that if we had been there at the birth, we might well have seen and heard things that would be hard to reconcile with modern science. But of course, that is not the point, because the gospel writers are not really interested primarily in the facts of the birth, but in the significance, the meaning for them of that birth. Whether there were 10 million angels or just the woman herself and her husband, when the child was born, the whole course of history was changed. That is a fact as hard and blunt as any fact. Art, music, literature, our culture itself, our political institutions, our whole understanding of ourselves and our world. It is impossible to conceive of how differently world history would have developed if that child had not been born. And in terms of faith, much more must be said, because for faith, the birth of the child into the darkness of the world made possible not just a new way of understanding life, but a new way of living life. So writes Frederick Buechner. Let us listen now as the celebration singers share with us Shepherd's Joy.
Yeah.
Lesson 6 comes from Matthew 2, 1 through 8, and is entitled, Herod, That I Too May Worship. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, Where is the child who has been born, King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had happened, appeared. Then he said to them, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.
Years before the advent of Christ, the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Reflecting on this rather remarkable prophecy, Henry Nouwen observes that our salvation comes from something small, tender, and vulnerable, something hardly noticeable. God, who is the creator of the universe, comes to us in smallness, weakness, in hiddenness. I find this a hopeful message. Somehow I keep expecting loud and impressive events to convince me and others of God's saving power. But over and over again, I am reminded that spectacles, power plays, and big events are the ways of the world. Our temptation is to be distracted by them. The work of salvation takes place in the midst of a world that continues to shout, scream, and overwhelm us with its claims and promises. But the promise is hidden in the shoot that sprouts from the stump, a shoot that hardly anyone notices. Our celebration singers will now share with us the Coventry Carol. No? Just you. Beg your pardon. Thank you. Our seventh lesson is entitled Emmanuel, God with us. And our scripture comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the second chapter, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us turn our attentions to the screen now, where we'll see a video called God with Us.
Other way, Matthew 2, 9 through 12. When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
This reflection is in the form of a poem called "It Is Not Over" by poet Ann Weems. It is not over, this birthing. There are always newer skies into which God can throw stars. When we begin to think that we can predict the advent of God, that we can box the Christ in a stable in Bethlehem, that's just the time that God will be born in a place we can't imagine and won't believe. Those who wait for God watch with their hearts and not their eyes, listening, always listening. for angel words. Our celebration singers will now share with us, Behold a Star.
From sin.
This is the star of Bethlehem. Behold that star. Behold the star of yonder. Behold that star. It is the star of Bethlehem.
The wise men came from the east.
This is the star of Bethlehem.
To worship him, the Prince of Peace.
This is the star of Bethlehem. Behold that star. Behold that star up yonder. Behold that star. It is the star of Bethlehem.
A song broke forth upon that night.
This is the star of Bethlehem.
From angel hosts all robed in white.
This is the star of Bethlehem. Behold that star. Behold that star up yonder. Behold that star. It is the star of Bethlehem. It is the star of Bethlehem. It is the star of Bethlehem.
I invite you to join me now in standing and sharing this word of benediction. Just as God promised, he was born in lowly estate.
And his birth in his land, men will worship, and kings pay homage.
He grew up in obscurity.
But when he declared himself, it was as if a new sun had risen.
He lived a life of love and died a death of shame. Death's dark womb could not hold him.
On Easter day, he was born anew, just as God promised.
Lord, be born again this Christmas,
in me,
in you, in us. Amen. Let us share together these two verses of We Three Kings as our response.